Initialize Mike Booty.
Hey.
Hey, there you go. It's
welcome to the Mellow Mushroom.
Chad Bowers and Mike were at Mellow Mushroom, Little Five Points, Birmingham.
This is the historic district of Birmingham, meaning it's very 90s. Very, very 1990s.
Yeah, I drove past the Five Points. I turned at the... Yeah. And it's five roads that come together in one spot.
It is, I know. It's like there's a Five Points here and a Five Points west. And
then like, Atlanta is a popular Five Points.
Exactly. That's just like a weird kind of civic anomaly. It happens in like all cities, I guess, where they just don't know how to like make the grid work anymore.
I was telling you that when we ordered before, I don't guess we had talked any, and then when I was listening to the podcast, because I'd edited the beginning and end of it, cut off me driving away when I left the recorder going, and recorded 30 minutes of a drive home, and so
with you singing, and,
yeah, me in the shower.
Yeah.
But I realized at that point that after we got talking, you were saying you don't eat pork products. We got like the pork masterpiece or something.
Again, I'm pretty easy again. Like
I feel like, man, I'm the biggest jerk in the world.
No. Yeah, I don't necessarily dig on swine. I my wife does not have it at all, and when I'm with her, I don't have it at all.
Yeah.
But if somebody's buying,
yeah,
or they've gone to a lot of trouble to make it,
yeah,
like I'll have it. You know, to be.
Well, what is a good pizza here? I used to love this place in college.
So you've been to the Mellow Mushroom before?
When,
it's very hippy-dippy.
When the Mellow Mushroom opened a location in downtown Auburn.
Yeah.
Would have been 96-ish.
Wow.
It was still relatively rare.
Yeah.
And WEGL, it became the second hangout. If you weren't at the station, WEGL people would usually be hanging out at the Mellow Mushroom.
Right.
Because of the beer selection.
It's your college radio station?
It was.
Yeah, right.
And, in fact, every week, every Thursday, we would all have lunch there together. Yeah. We'd have like a whole front of the place would be like 20 people from WEGL hanging out.
How much fun.
Oh, it was. It was.
It's a little bit more downplayed than that.
It was the best fraternity that you didn't even have to pay to be a member of.
I know. You actually did something like cool and creative.
Yeah, men and women were in it, so yeah. You know, it's like everybody.
Yeah. Well, we can get like a split pizza if you want to. I'm cool with just cheese or like all a right. veg out or something.
Yeah.
Or if you want to get like a buffalo chicken, you know, you do you. What you want.
I would. I like that idea.
Okay.
I don't know. Is the philosopher's pie, is that a veggie pizza?
The philosopher's pie.
It's on that blue card there.
Oh, this one, right? Oh, you're looking at the special menu. Flavors that will blow your mind. An olive oil and garlic paste, all natural grilled ribeye steak, portobello mushrooms, artichoke hearts, Kalamata olives. This sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think too weird. I would just go over,
yeah.
Cheese pizza for that sake.
Yeah, I wonder if they got to cook that steak. They have to, that's fine, you know, whatever. If you get a philosopher's pie, I'll eat that.
All right.
But, you know, if you want to do a half and half, it's whatever. I recently found out that on the Dukes of Hazzard show, the famous shot in the opening credits.
Yes, I was going to mention that.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
I recently found it. I haven't gone and checked it out, but there's a Mellow Mushroom in the background.
There sure is.
Of him sliding across the General League.
In like 1978 or whenever it was.
That was. Probably earlier than that, I would think, maybe. But yeah, I didn't realize. I don't know when this company goes back to.
Well, I think that was the original location.
Was it really? So that was like, that would have been like in maybe Carrollton, Georgia or something like that. Like outside Atlanta, maybe.
Some small town in Georgia. I guess it must have been Atlanta.
Because they filmed like the first six episodes there, and then they moved to California, basically shot right next door to MASH, you know.
I didn't know they shot next door to MASH.
Well, I'm assuming they did. I mean, when you watch the Dukes of Hazzard any time after like the first six episodes, it just looks like you know, they're in South Korea on television.
When I used to watch it, I felt like they shot it around like where I live, because it looked so much like my grandparents' land. And in my mind, my grandparents, my Uncle Phil, like, when I go up there on the weekends a lot, that would be like going to Dukes of Hazzard World.
Right. Yeah, just like dirt
motorcycles
roads,
and dirt roads and
ATVs, off-road vehicles.
Yeah.
Muscle cars. Yeah, it's the Dukes of Hazzard is probably one of the very first shows I ever remember watching, and I was most likely watching it in reruns, because I'm sure it was off the air by the time I was really conscious of it, around like 83 or 84 maybe.
That must have been around the end of it, I would guess.
Yeah, and I remember being confused by it, kind of liking it, sort of getting this idea of like Boss Hogg, the idea though of sliding across the car is something that definitely stuck with me quite a lot. Because I do remember doing that. So.
And didn't Luke like jump in the window somehow?
Yeah, he jumped in the windows, which is like really hard to do.
I mean, you could really hurt yourself.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, totally.
You could try to look cool and end up with no teeth. Real quick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's one of those things that, I mean, just both of the things I did, slide across the car, jump at the window, were things that I definitely have memories of doing.
Yeah.
And, again, that would have been much... So I was probably watching The Dukes of Hazzard maybe, like, into the late 80s, but not really knowing what was going on in the show, just, like, kind of getting these splashes of... You know, like what they were doing.
It's a really good-hearted show, from what I remember.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, good old boys.
Uncle Jesse always
had a...
You know,
they mean no harm.
That's right.
Yeah. So, right. But they were like Roadrunners, weren't they? They were Moonshine Boys.
Well, I think the idea came from a movie that came out in like 1972. Mm-hmm. Some kind of moonshine.
Like
movie.
White Lightning or something like that. Hey, I think we're ready.
Yeah. Can we do a half and half pizza? A large half Hey Dude and a half Philosopher's Pie.
Hey Dude sounds like it has every kind of meat on it.
Yeah, that's a good TV show.
Yeah, really.
It's gonna be a good pizza as well.
Okay. Oh, cool.
That's like from my era. Hey Dude.
That's more your era, yeah.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
I had an extended adolescence though.
Yeah. Well, Hey Dude was never really a show that I got, because I wasn't really into like westerns and things like that, and kids hanging out on the ranch, you know.
Is that what Hey Dude was?
It was like, yeah, they were hanging out on a ranch.
Oh, I thought it was like Kenan Peele or something, and
oh gosh,
maybe that was like Dude Where's My Pizza or
Dude
that was
Where's
a,
My Car.
That was a movie.
Yeah, Dude, Where's My Car was the movie with Stifler from American Pie.
Yeah.
And Ashton Kutcher. And they get really drunk, and then they wake up the next day, and they can't find their car. And so they spend the whole movie looking for it. I never saw that movie.
Wow.
That is an extended adolescence, though, if you did. But, I mean, that's the point of that kind of thing. But, yeah.
When I met Laura, I was... 25, I guess, and she was like 20 or 19, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe I was 26, and I was still like getting bloodied up skateboarding in ditches.
Right. Yeah.
It was very common for me to be bloodied on my arms, my elbows, and my knees.
You didn't
and,
wear any like pads or anything like that. What, that's not the cool thing to do?
Nobody wore pads back then. I mean, it just wasn't even... And we weren't, like, trying to be like, oh, we're daredevils, not wearing pads. It's just no one even ever thought of it.
Well, yeah. Of course not. I mean, it's like, you know, when I owned a motorcycle for, like, 2 years, you know, I never wore, like, just outfitted. I mean, just, like, all that stuff that you're supposed to wear, because it's just, it's cumbersome.
Motorcycles
and you're like,
are
if I'm
dangerous.
If I'm gonna fall on a motorcycle, I'm just gonna fall. You know,
oh, dude.
It's like it's.
I don't know if that's a good idea.
Well, I.
Get another one,
I'm not getting another one. Don't worry about it. The fact that thing got stolen is kind of the best thing that ever happened to me, because I was gonna sell it anyway. And the fact that somebody stole it, I got like an insurance payout for it. I got the loan paid off, and I made like $600 on it too.
Nice.
So it worked out better than if I had just sold it. You know, and. you know, so I kind of, it was disappointing at first, but I was sort of also glad.
But yeah, motorcycles are a good way to kill yourself.
Yeah, no, they are. And I was pretty safe on it, but I did fall once on it, going about 5 miles an hour. And
man,
it's like one of those things where it's like, if I had been going 6 miles an hour, I probably would have died. You know?
A good friend of mine I grew up with, he, and I don't know until when, but... Oh, until his 40s, he was racing motorcycles.
Oh, God.
Up in Seattle is where he lives, and he was part of a club. And they would do that circuit racing where, where you're, like, leaning over so far on these bikes that you're almost touching the ground.
Yeah.
And you're just going ridiculous.
It's no optical illusion or anything.
Oh,
they're really, really almost touching the ground.
That's just crazy.
I don't know why anybody would put themselves through that, but, again, it's just this kind of daredevil mentality that a lot of people have.
Yeah.
And I thought I did, and I really just wanted a motorcycle to just, like, kind of get from place to place without getting in the car, and I just wanted to be able to kind of save on gas.
Yeah.
And I just also just wanted to, like, to have one, you know, just, like, the idea I never had. I'd always been very conventional with getting around town. I just kind of wanted to have something that was, you know, cool that I could kind of hop on. And I used to love going from my apartment to UAV and taking this back route that was just like through alleys, kind of
winding
around.
When you were a student?
Yeah, when I was teaching, actually.
Oh,
when I was
okay.
teaching. You know, this is just a couple of years ago, but I used to love taking that route, you know, just that you could take on a car, but it just felt like really cool, you know, just like lots of curves and everything. So, you know, it just felt really good, you know, and all that. And I enjoyed it, but, you know, the era was coming to an end.
Yeah.
Jessica was getting really irritated with me that I wasn't selling it. She didn't want me to buy it in the first place.
Was she worried about you getting hurt?
All the time, yeah, of course. So, anyway. But, I don't know. I enjoyed having it. But, the Dukes of Hazzard.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah. Them Duke
My favorite, I've told it several times on the podcast, but one of my favorite memories is, being sick in bed one Friday night, and I had my Dukes of Hazzard TV tray. And my mom had made one of my favorite dishes, which was chicken Kiev with honey carrots and rice pilaf. And so she brought it to me and on my Dukes of Hazzard tray. So I'm sitting there in bed, and it's time for the Dukes to come on. And I watched the episode. And it was a special Friday night.
Yeah.
And they showed another whole episode.
Oh, nice.
Right after.
Probably like in the summertime when they were just like filling airtime because they didn't have new shows or
probably
something.
Probably so,
like that.
Yeah. You know, and it was probably something I'd seen before, but I didn't care.
Yeah,
right?
Of course just, not.
The Dukes is on. It's just like, oh my gosh.
My friend Josh years ago, he did production work on a movie with John Schneider.
Oh, what an awesome guy.
Is that Schneider, right?
He is a really nice guy.
Yeah. But
he was like the dad in Smallville.
Oh, I didn't know that. I never watched that show.
Which, I need to interview, I need to interview Jeff. I met him for coffee once down here, but he's out of town a lot because he tours.
Mm-hmm. Who's this?
He's a guitarist. He's he's actually an official member of the band The Church now.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
God, I don't know much about that band, but I love that album. I love that first album.
They're incredible, and he's incredible.
Yeah.
And but he travels,
crazy.
Of course, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And,
And that's so cool.
We grew up in Mobile.
Oh, okay.
And we went to high school together.
Okay.
And, I remember, I wasn't friends with him, but I was friends with one of his best friends, Scott Minto.
Okay.
Scott Minto.
Yeah.
And, it's kind of a tragic tale because Scott's mom had kind of the cool house.
Yeah.
He didn't have a dad, but like his mom would let kids drink over at their house.
Oh, really?
And she would make French fries and things like that for everybody. And
you would make French fries.
Oh yeah, the old plate of French fries, man. drinking beer and eating French fries.
Yeah, that does sound pretty good actually.
Listening to The Church, they were huge Church fans.
Wow, really?
And that's kind of the amazing thing about it. And Jeff was always in bands.
Yeah.
And then his personal band with another great guy, Greg Slay, who stole one of my girlfriends, I'm proud to say. but Greg was a cool guy, man. No, you know what? It wasn't Greg. It was another guy in their band.
Yeah.
It was another guy in their band. What was his? Anyway.
You're that guy where the rock star takes your girlfriend backstage. Yeah. You're like, have fun, you two.
Yeah. No,
I'll
but
be
I
be out here waiting.
At the time, I was pissed.
Yeah, sure.
But 40 years later, it just seems funny.
It is. It is funny. Yeah.
But yeah, their band was, they wrote the theme song that was real popular for Smallville.
All right. But I've never seen an episode of that.
But the funny thing is I didn't even know that was him.
Oh, wow.
Singing that song. And they played this banger song opening, and I'm like, oh, man, that's an awesome theme song. Didn't realize it was a friend from high school's band, Remy Zero.
Yeah. Oh, right. I remember that name.
Remy Zero was their band.
Yeah.
And he does some incredible atmospheric stuff now on his own called Isidore.
Mm.
But really cool stuff.
Okay. God, man, I had no idea they were even still together. I'm one of those people, like, with music, I don't make it a point to learn about the personnel of the band, their discography in order. I've never been one of those.
Oh, really?
I just sort of, like, I have albums that I really like, and I don't know, I've never been somebody who's, like, a live music person. You know, I'm like, music just kind of finds me, and I have it in my space, and, you know, but, listening to like a lot of like all of Donald Fagen's albums this
Donald
summer.
Fagen, yeah.
I've been enjoying him a lot, and I've been enjoying listening to his albums, you know, in order this summer.
Some great yacht rock in there.
Hey, man. There's Brett, my friend.
Oh, hey, guys.
Yeah, good. This is Chad. We're going to bring him over to trivia later, and he's going to win.
Oh, awesome.
So. I didn't see it, but I parked right. Is my car still there? Yeah, I parallel parked too.
Oh, you're right in front of me, man.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. So we're all three there. It's like that movie Swingers where they all park in line. Huh. And they all clubs. This actually used to be my bus stop years ago when I didn't have a car for like a year and a half.
For where were you going?
I would have to. I would be working over at the park.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Red Mountain Park.
Over there in Homewood. Yeah. And I lived, you know, about a mile and a half from here and stuff like that. So I had my bike and I would ride my bike up here and then, you know, put it on the bus.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was awful because,
that's,
you know,
gotta be
it was
a pain.
Just, well, it's not that bad, but I mean, you know, eventually, like I had to, like I was walking.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bus would, like, stop right here. They actually recently discontinued this bus stop. But, you know, Birmingham transportation, like, bus transportation is not very good.
Yeah.
And if you're going to, like, the outlying areas, like, forget about it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You're going to get on that bus, and it's going to – it took about an hour and 15 minutes every day to get to work, you know, not counting the, you know, 15 minutes it took to walk up here and then had to walk back and everything. I was so happy to get a car.
I bet,
yeah. It was so nice.
Yeah.
You know, but I will say at the same time, like that year and a half that I was riding the bus gave me like a lot of fodder for the show.
Cool.
And you know, a lot of stories.
I remember when you first started doing shows, you were delivering the paper.
Yeah, the newspaper.
And I used to love listening to that. That was such a cool job because that was like at the end of the paper era.
It was. No, it was crazy because I started in like January 2011 because. Like, you know, I was in grad school during the day, and then I was working. Eventually, I started working at the park, but really, the paper job was the only job I could do because I was, you know, working all day, and I was doing, you know, intern teaching. And so you just get in the car at night, and just drive at night, and that would be like, you know, what you did. But I had to leave. In like summer of 2012, because I had to go and do student teaching, which was like a full-time job without getting paid, you know? And so, you know, I had to leave the job, and it's so crazy because like, I think it was like 3 weeks after I left, they announced that the paper was going to 3 day a week.
Damn.
So I didn't know how they were doing it because there were all these delivery people I worked with. They were independent contractors. They weren't employed by the Birmingham News. that's all they did. That's all they did. And some of them, like, it was, wow. Some of them had, like, family businesses where you would just see their entire families come in at night. And they all had multiple routes that they would roll just to make that. And, like, I got to tell you, it's like the economics of it did not make sense for 3 days a week. I mean, it barely made sense for 7 days a week because the daily newspapers, like, Monday through Saturday.
Yeah.
You would, you know, throw them out and you would be paid 11 cents per paper. And so you weren't making any money Monday through Saturday. The only time you were ever making money was on Sunday where you got like $1.20, like $1.25 or $1.35 per paper.
Damn.
And so like Sunday major day, major week. Like you were basically delivering all week long just to work Sunday.
Wow.
And so just the economics of it didn't make sense. It's definitely not something I would be able to do now because, like, everything that I pay for has gone up so much more. But,
wow.
You know, I got to tell you, though, the worst thing about it is that, like, sometimes you would just make a mistake and forget to deliver a paper, or you would deliver a paper, somebody would steal it.
Yeah.
It was, like, a really rainy night, and even though you would, like, double bag the papers, they would get drenched in a way the customer didn't like. And if they called in and complained about a missed paper, you get charged for it as their deliverer.
Oh.
You get charged $5 for it. So imagine if you're delivering all these papers every night, you're making 11 cents. That $5 charge, it's like, takes everything away that you did. So
jeez.
If you got two complaints,
you were broke.
That's more. I mean,
yeah.
you suddenly started owing money.
Right.
I mean, it was terrible. I don't know how I did it for a year and a half. And you had to do it every single night. Like, for a year and a half, I never, ever had a night off.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and it was...
It produced some great audio.
It did. And that's basically the only reason I did it, just because it was like, I just really, really wanted to, you know, just kind of have, I guess, I mean, the paycheck was there, but it's like, I just kind of want to have stories to tell. And I just, I really enjoyed working at night, you know, so what was that about?
I don't know. Anyway. That's the danger of sitting outside.
I know. That guy's podcasting. He's walking by. But yeah, I mean, it was...
You think he was podcasting?
No, I don't think so.
He might be.
Sometimes I see people and I'm like, I wonder if they're doing a podcast or not. I don't know. But yeah. So yeah, it was a fun job, but like, I was so glad when it was over, but... Yeah, it's so sad because they went down to 3-day-a-week deliveries in, like, August of 2012. And then in 2023, they stopped it completely.
Oh,
the paper shut down. And this big, beautiful, like, you know, glass and steel building that they built for the Birmingham News in, like, 2008.
Sure.
Just a few years after they had built it and the Birmingham News moved into it, they closed it down, and it's now... That's Tony and Eric. They're going to be joining us
too. Oh, wow.
Yeah. How are y'all doing? Good. This is my friend Chad.
Hey, guys.
We met through podcasting. We're actually doing a podcast right now.
All right.
Yeah,
we're
live worldwide.
I'll be ready for my close-up.
Well, it's audio, so...
Final Fantasy VII. That's a cool shirt.
Yeah, and it looks like 7-Eleven. See, we're on audio, so we have to explain it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Thanks for coming out tonight.
Thanks for the invite.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, I know.
I'm ready to not be able to answer anything.
Oh, you'll be fine. You've done trivia before.
Not well. I'll need some memory access juice.
Well, you got music. You got music, right?
Okay.
Yeah, you got music.
Well,
Chad's got sports.
There we go. I don't think so.
What's the national sport of Canada?
Retro video game information.
No, it's not field hockey.
It's lacrosse.
It's the same thing.
Is it not? Is that the same thing?
Field hockey is like you have like the actual hockey sticks. You actually have the hockey sticks and all that stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I figured there was the same.
Yeah, it was lacrosse. Lacrosse.
Oh, is field hockey lacrosse?
I thought so, but apparently
when I was in school, we would play field hockey. Would be like you would actually have hockey sticks. They would just be wood. Hockey sticks. I guess that's what a hockey stick is.
You're right.
And you would have a ball and just
the
like
only reason I know of
field.
This is because there's a Disney movie, like made for TV Disney movie that was made in like the 70s with like a very young
I thought you had,
maybe
this
60s
is a podcast.
Or 70s,
this is like
a
very young recording.
It's just a real podcast.
Thank you.
We've got trivia. I'm going to say this. Like, we've got the game that starts at, like, 7, which we're probably not going to be there for the beginning of. So what I was going to ask, if y'all could go in and start for us.
Sure.
And we'll kind of come in when we're done. We got here, like, you know, a little after 6.
All right.
And stuff. So we were trying to kind of, like, you know, eat before that started.
We'll be like kind of a celebrity appearance.
It'd be one of those things where it'd be
you know, the podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, once they finish the show.
I get to name the group then.
Yeah, of course.
It'd be one of those things
where it's like, I would just say, let's all go in whenever we're ready. But
just ask when you go in. Ask for the dumbasses.
You know?
Where the dumbasses are sitting at.
Great. Thank you very much.
We don't have to head over there yet.
You can hang out.
You guys and your phones and all your technology.
Yeah, that's right.
Who's the actress I'm trying to remember? It was a young...
Jodie Foster?
Yeah, Jodie Foster.
Oh, exactly.
Are you had you just said Disney movie with field hockey. I love Jodie Foster.
Freaky Friday.
It was the OG version. Yeah.
And she was in Taxi Driver.
She was in Taxi Driver.
And she was in that movie about somebody getting raped on a pinball machine or something.
Yeah, she won an Oscar for that.
She won back-to-back Oscars. See, we're going to do great in trivia.
I've been thinking
when you're going, oh, it's the thing with the girl, and then you remember it.
Jodie Foster. There you go.
Steered it in the right direction.
I keep reading Catcher in the Rye and trying to think of something I can do to impress Jodie. I just keep focusing. How can I impress her?
That's a play on the I can't even think of his. The guy that tried to assassinate Reagan.
It's either John Hinckley. Was it John Hinckley?
He was trying to.
Which is the one who
he was trying to impress Jodie Foster.
I get him and the guy who killed John Lennon confused. Martin David Chapman was Lennon, right?
So he had the three names, and for some reason, John Hinckley is the only,
it's weird.
The CIA determines whether they get three names.
Because he also got out, too. Like, we don't give John Hinckley three names because we knew he was going to get out someday.
And he got out,
he writes music
and
now.
And he never killed
pretty good.
So that was the thing. He tried but did not succeed.
He did.
He got really close to Baker, I think, was his chief of staff.
James Baker. James Baker eventually did die.
The Baker Act.
They actually did rule it as a homicide,
right? We need to call Dick Cheney by three names?
He didn't kill him.
Oh, Dick.
He
Paul
shot a guy in the
Chaney.
Face.
Yeah, I know he's not. And that was
did
a flesh wound.
No, it was just a misunderstanding.
Remember in the news, they were very careful. They say he peppered a guy.
He sprayed a guy.
I wish I had that kind of pull.
That makes it sound like just a little bit worse than crop dusting, but let's face it, what he did was far worse.
You want to pull my finger?
Not specifically.
This is a sophisticated podcast.
I guess it happens when you're whatever they're doing, shooting foul together.
So Chad moved here about what, like 2 years ago now, right?
Well, more like 4 now.
Oh my gosh, from Texas. And so like we met through podcasting.
Okay.
And Chad's originally from Mobile. So what we've been doing just for like the last year and a half.
A proper
or so
Southerner.
Is we'll meet every once in a while, we'll just do like a pizza podcast. We'll like have pizza and we won't talk about the pizza, we'll just do a show.
We call it Birmingham Pizza Review.
But we hardly ever mention the pizza.
Great.
That was his name. I wanted to call it Pizza Podcast.
And in fact, speaking of names,
very alliterative.
Mike needs a new name for his podcast.
Because I'm in
the Midnight Citizen, but he's going to change it to something like Saturday Night.
That's all what I'm going to... Well, now that Stephen Colbert is done with his show, I'm just going to take his name.
The late show is Stephen Colbert.
You're going to use the whole thing?
Yeah.
You're not even going to change it to Colbert?
That would be a good... You don't know how... No one knows how to spell his name? I don't know if that's a problem or not.
I know he wasn't funny, but how do you lose $140 million a year
Saying somebody's not funny is pretty subjective.
Well, one thing, people, we were talking about this when you guys came up here.
I like when he did his specials on the Jon Stewart show. He had his
The Daily Show, and then on the Colbert Report.
We have to get it out of the way.
He was funny.
Yeah.
He really
was. That's
what
I'm saying. It's like Stephen Colbert was
It's hard.
Pretty objectively... very, very funny before he took over for Letterman.
Well, that's the thing. It's hard to be funny.
Yeah.
Every single night, when you're going to have like a 5 or 10 minute monologue or whatever.
He just wanted them out of the way.
So you have a room of writers that are doing
this. Dude, that happened to me one late night as like a 19-year-old coming home from New Orleans. Car lit me up. All he wanted to do was for me to move out of the way. I was like, oh, I'm dead. I moved out of the way, and he sped off. And I was like, oh, thank God.
By his very nature, to the broadest possible audience.
I was a little bit inebriated. You know, I was heading back to my house.
James Corden came in and had a very revolutionary idea. He's like, people were not
right
watching.
And so I'm, you know, minding my P's and Q's.
Yeah,
going in. I needed to stop into the Dollar General.
So he sectioned it up.
Pick up something.
You know?
I can't even.
And that was
remember.
Smart.
So I pull into the Dollar General, and this
nobody
he's
else
been on me for
suit, you know, and,
a mile or so.
Seth
Meyers kind of
did it.
I hate that when I'm completely innocent of everything. I hate
it.
It's like you have to watch this, like.
And then I pull into the Dollar General,
and
he pulls
he
in
got
and goes around the building and parks over
like,
on the side ready to pull
but
out.
But he's not
and
a character
And me and my idiotic brain, I walk over,
yeah,
and I sort of
be
in front, it's like I didn't want to pop up on him or anything like that. I said, hey, are you following me for some reason? I'm coming here. I need to be here for the next hour. You know, I'm summit. Oh, okay, so have a good trip. You know, like that. I was like, damn, Tony, you're stupid.
Or the only listener. I was going to say,
did he then say, are you drunk?
I know. Talk about exposing yourself.
Right.
Oh, come on. You're going to turn everything into something cheap and disgusting.
You did. I didn't do anything.
No. At the movie theater, I told you about my career at the movie theater.
Oh,
right?
God.
My long movie theater career.
Yeah.
Johnny was a police officer in Mobile at the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
And, Johnny, of course he had a gun on his side.
At the movie theater?
And,
well, it's in Alabama. Yeah.
Well, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Open carry.
Well, you know what they do is they pay off-duty cops to, like, at the time, 1990, some ridiculous amount of money, like $40 an hour, just to hang out.
Yeah, just to stand there.
Just stand here, yeah.
Yeah, just to be a deterrent.
Right. But Johnny would mess with me.
Well.
He said, Chad, you want to see if you can take my gun? And I was like, what? And he's like, come on.
Challenge accepted.
Just grab it. And I was like, hell no. Trying to shoot me, Johnny? What the hell are you doing?
That's when you tell him, say, you shouldn't do that. I got a green belt in kudzu. I can take that anytime I want.
Kudzu. Oh, man. Look at that.
Parmesan, red pepper, or two extra places.
Sure, yeah.
That's
I'm good.
I'm not.
This is the
glass. Okay, so no to the two extra plates.
No,
we're
good.
Yeah, this is
if you have any extra beer back there.
I was going to say, the food gets in the way of the alcohol.
The good beer, not the what you get to the riffraff.
I don't know about Gateway.
Which side is mine again?
Well, this is the Philosopher's Stone.
Oh, okay.
And then this is the Madness in Orange.
Oh, yeah. That's the Deadwood pizza, or what they call it, the old dude.
I believe
the
waitress was still sitting there going, like, do they need anything? And it was around the time of the Philosopher's Stone side of the pizza where she was like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Oh,
thank
man.
You.
You know what? I'm sorry. I thought there was, like, a fork.
You want some
fork.
Utensils?
Yeah. Because I'm fancy.
What? Mike is a... small child.
No, I'm fancy.
And the movie Dracula had just come out, the Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the poster for it is...
Oh, you're back to your story. I'm
some
sorry.
Evil face. And we're sitting on the bench.
I love that he gives Francis Ford Coppola credit and not Bram Stoker. You know, Bram Stoker's name is in the fucking title.
Yeah, that's true. Well...
Sorry, I don't know if you press on this
show. No,
I didn't even know that.
Mm-hmm. So anyways...
We learned something every day.
Thank you very much.
He said, what do you think of that poster over there?
Uh-huh.
I'm like, yeah? He's like, that face, what do you think about that? What does it really make you feel?
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't know, John. And he said, well, come over here with me. Let's look at it. And so we walked up to him. We're standing there, you know, we're looking at it. And I said, I got to go check the movies, Johnny. And I walked up and went to check the movies. Anyway...
Just make you see some terrible shit.
And he was just really fucking with me. The best thing they ever did, and this is so strange that should be fiction. But they asked me to come. Johnny came running, and he was like, pulled his gun, and he said, "Chad, there's a fucking clown on the roof." And we ran outside to the front, and there was a fucking clown on the roof.
Like a real clown? Or
yes.
Like one of those, like,
a real clown.
Battles?
And that's where you're like, Johnny, you see that too, right?
We worked next door to Mountasia, and Johnny and the manager went and borrowed the clown outfit and got on the roof. This whole thing was a ruse to screw with me.
Oh, all right. This is the greatest cop ever.
This is a Mobile cop.
Hey, Chad, take the saddle. Put it on your head.
Right. Well, they're just kind of off duty.
I trained for my certification.
They're just pellets. They're not going to hurt.
Yeah, pull my gun. See if you can get it.
Oh, the 90s were different.
Mm. Well, that was like the 80s, right?
I think at the end was probably like 91. Okay. Probably 90,
91. Okay.
So it's funny that time period, that glass building, which used to be a decor and design, whatever.
There used to be
that
bell
was the hottest is Louie Louie's.
It was the club?
They had music all the time. It was
pouring
out in the streets.
Was that before Bell Bottoms?
No, that was in the late 80s.
Oh, well, that was
all throughout the 80s.
Well,
you're talking about.
Yeah, Bell Bottoms was like throughout the 90s. You know, that was
okay. I thought you were talking about jeans.
You thought you were actually talking about
the
pants.
No,
it was
that was in the 70s.
Did they play music?
Oh, yeah. Good music? Tons of good music.
Did you bounce there? Or? No, you bounced to Bandit.
I bounced at TC's.
Which
is Denver.
You don't look like a rough dude, but maybe when you were younger, you would like...
I have a lot of mean words. And, back in the 80s when it was really rough,
that was
really
the era of Roadhouse where you guys all wanted to be bouncers for like a day.
I had no job, and I just lucked into it. But I ended up doing that as a pretty regular moonlighting when I was in the Coast Guard down in Panama City.
Yeah.
But before any of that happened, this is hilarious. Down there in Panama City, my dad, who's legally blind, and his friend who's driving, and it's late. We've been out, all of us been out. My cousin Benny, and we pull up to Pineapple Willie's. At that time, it's this flat out bar. And we walking in, and I don't know why, but the bouncer there, the guy at the door, said, "Hey, look." He asked me, he said, "Can you just watch the front here? I gotta go use the bathroom."
Oh, wow.
I said, "Yeah, sure." I mean, it was no one really going in except for us. We started leaving, and I got the wise idea to start carding them on the way out.
That's it. You're getting thrown in.
What? I'm sorry. And the latest one lady, she's going, "You realize I'm in the bar." And I was like, "I'm sorry, ma'am. It's a new ordinance. I don't make the rules." By the way, I was drunk.
They'll throw you out retroactively. Yeah.
That's brilliant. I like that. Carding them on the way out.
All right, I'll sit over there so we can
get a beer.
Thanks, trip guys. Isn't going to be a itself.
All right. Appreciate it. Just answer the best you can.
That's all I can do.
Are we your students now?
Yeah, no, I'm going to hold it down. I'm actually preserving my title because I won last week. So.
All right.
Good luck with that this week.
No.
The dumbasses.
Go ahead. You're funny, dudes.
That's the best part of our podcast.
Yeah. You may have to edit out a part because, like, me and Eric were having a conversation at the same time you guys were talking.
Oh,
so.
It don't matter.
It was like, I don't know if you're recording in stereo or not. But, they're guys I met at the cigar shop a few years ago. And I would go in there, like, every day after school and just, like, do my lesson plans. Mm-hmm. And they would always be over there having, like, conversations that I wanted to be a part of, but I couldn't because I was working, you know? And eventually I quit my job and, started doing my my graduate degree and was able to, now I basically don't do anything, so I'm able to talk with them.
So you ended up meeting them at some point. You introduced
yourself? We've been, the guy who, was working at the cigar shop a lot, about 5 or 6 years ago, like, invited me to play poker with them, and I never played poker or anything like that, but they would always be at the game. I would just always have, like, I would have a blast, like.
Oh, thank
I heard
you.
Y'all say at 7, so I decided to bring
it. Oh, man, thank you so much.
Oh, thank
really
you.
We were trying to kind of time this out really well, and it just didn't work because we get to talking and everything.
Yeah,
so,
no pressure. So, like,
yeah.
Y'all ready? Y'all
we
have
will.
Y'all boxes in the check. So
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. But
yeah, they seem really cool.
Yeah, they are. And, like, yeah, I just started playing poker with them, even though I wasn't very good at it. Like, Tony is a shark. He's, like, you know.
This guy, Tony, ready for you?
Yeah, yeah. He's, like, former Coast Guard, and he's really, really good at it. And,
oh, wow.
Like, he goes down to the American Legion and takes veterans for their money, like, all the time, you know. But
I had a friend in college that was a bartender.
Yeah.
At the Oaks Lodge.
Yeah.
And, same kind of guy, you know. He was into that kind of stuff. Like, he was a bouncer places, and then he was a, then he was a what do you call it, a bartender, and.
Mm-hmm.
But also excellent at cards.
Yeah.
I guess it all goes together.
Well, it's one of those things that I just, like, I really, really had never thought about poker that much, you know. And when I started getting into the game.
Are you good at it now?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not good at it. I don't play anymore because you need money to play poker, and I never have any money. At least I know that the people I play poker with, I know that when I play with them, it's going to be a friendly game.
Now, he plays for money?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we all did. I mean, well, when we played at the cigar shop, we would play for cigars. You know, you would, like, buy in with a couple of cigars. So Jim, the guy who worked at the cigar store, he kept the place open late as a way of, like, you know, selling more cigars, but he also really liked to play, you know, and so it just ended up being, like, a really cool thing that we did until he quit, you know, and so once I sort of understood the game, like, you know, I began playing better, but it's one of those things that I've just never been able to really get good at, because to get good at poker, you have to play for money, you know, it's not really something that you can just do, like, because the stakes have to be high so that, because everybody plays at their best when they're at the risk of losing something, you know?
Right.
And so it's not like Monopoly where you just play just to sort of pass the time, you know?
Yeah, if you're just, risking doesn't have any meaning if it's just for matchsticks.
Exactly. Like, even when you're just kind of playing for fun with your friends, you know, you're, you know, still, like, you know, pay, you know, we would still. Like, I went over to a couple of house games that they would have, and we would, you know, play for money, and it was, like, really intense for me, you know, and all that, but,
I played Monopoly one night for, like, 5 hours with a group of people.
Yeah, were you playing for money?
No, it was a bunch of hippies that, my bartender friend at the Elks Lodge was really good friends with.
Yeah.
And it was the strangest night because, I mean, among other things, I drank, like, 8 beers or something, and and I started getting more sober again. Like, I went through the phrase where I was really drunk, but then I started getting more sober again.
I know that feeling.
I don't know if it was an optical illusion in my head.
No, I know that feeling. Well, you get, you know, I mean, alcohol, like, you know, goes through the system, so it's like, you know, you drink some, maybe to excess, and then you kind of wait a little bit, you drink some water or whatever, and it goes through. You get your second, third, fourth win, you know.
And this guy was, he was like, "You have beautiful eyes, man." And anyway, we started playing Monopoly with all these people. And we would land on each other's properties, and we'd be like, "Oh, don't worry about it, man. It's cool."
Yeah.
And that's why the game never would end.
Mm-hmm.
It just went on for hours.
Yeah. Was there a lot of wheeling and dealing going on in Monopoly? Like,
no, we
trading
were,
properties back
we
and forth?
We were just rolling the dice and moving around and chalking.
See, that's the thing you got to do in Monopoly is you got to, like, you got to role play in that game. If you if you do nothing but just, like, you know, roll the dice and move, it's going to be a never ending game of back and forth unless somebody just is suiciding themselves. Like, that's what I did with my wife. I actually played a game of Monopoly in about 20 minutes with my wife because I landed on every property, I bought every property. And then
that's
she just
the thing,
happened
right?
to land on. Yeah, she happened to, because she went second. She landed on all the better properties, you know, first, you know, and stuff. So she just happened to kind of, like, make her way around the board after me and basically land on all the good stuff right after I had passed it. So, you know,
yeah.
But and yeah, there's a really good strategy to losing a Monopoly that I put on Facebook. It's basically just like, you know, land on everything, buy everything you land on.
Yeah.
You know, I can't remember the rest of it. But yeah, just basically, you're supposed to buy everything that you land on, but...
Now, that's interesting. A book, you know, on how to lose at Monopoly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is like, there gets to, there's this critical mass of playing Monopoly where you just get to this point where I can't play this anymore, but this person wants to keep playing, and you just kill yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You just, like, want to, you know, so you just end up, you know, purposely trying to roll, like, twos and threes to get on the, on the right spaces. You intentionally make bad deals. Like, I'll trade you, you know, two of my railroads for,
right,
you know, one of your, you know, Baltic Avenues or whatever.
Instead of hiding 500s in your sock, you're throwing them over your shoulder.
Yeah.
It's like getting rid of them.
Yeah. It's a beautiful game, though. I love Monopoly.
Well, you know, it was designed by that lady who didn't get any credit for it.
Yeah.
And she invented it as to show the evils of capitalism.
Mm-hmm. Right. During the Great Depression, right?
Yeah. And then the Parker Brothers stole it from her.
Yeah.
And made a fortune. Mm-hmm. How's that? How's that for lessons?
I don't know. Was she a Marxist? Was she a communist?
She may have been.
What's the difference between Marxism and communism? I never understood that. Are they basically the same thing?
Well, it's all a good idea.
Yeah.
It all sounds really good in theory.
Well, so does capitalism. I mean, you know.
Well, there's no good. There's no painless way to live life. That's the problem.
Yeah.
We're looking for a pain. We all would like there to be a painless, fair way to live life.
The thing about capitalism that I don't want to give up is that we will always have this, like, never-ending desire to produce information. And that's the most important thing, is that, like, you can't suppress information in a capitalist society the way you can in a communist one, you know? With the communist thing where everybody's kind of together, everybody's in the collective, there's always going to be, like, a hegemony of, like, top-down information. And you can have so-called competing newspapers, for instance,
yeah,
but one of those newspapers is going to prove themselves more valuable to the state than the other one, you know? And so, like, that's kind of what Stalin did, you know? Like, Stalin just 100% got rid of all conflicting pieces of information and just, like, streamlined, you know, news.
Yeah. It was an evil bastard.
Yeah. I never really understood why Stalin was so evil.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like...
It was the people
he
killed.
I grew up... people telling me he was evil, but I was like, why are there all these pictures of him, like, looking like Jesus? Like, kind of, you know, huddling up to kids and, like, kind of patting their heads and, you know, why are there still monuments to Stalin?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what... I'm so confused about this. And,
now, is he the one that is still in, like, the middle of Red Square, like, preserved cryogenically or something?
Cryogenically? I don't know. I mean, I know there's still...
But he's, like, preserved...
There.
Huh? Like in an open coffin.
I have no idea. I mean...
in police following for anybody listening.
I think they know. So, I haven't had this stuff on the brain as much in recent months as I would have liked. You know, in terms of, like, current events, you know. I think, like, Putin would probably... you know, love a combination of Stalin, Brezhnev, and Gorbachev. You know, he's got, like, the, you know, somewhat the illusion of goodwill, you know, that, like, he's like a Gorbachev, you know? He's got the draconian, you know, dictatorial... you know, attitudes of, like, a Stalin. And he's got the progressive Russia forward views of, like, a Khrushchev, you know? Maybe I'm wrong about that history, but, you know, I think, you know, Putin is somebody who, like, came to power as, like, he's a former KGB officer.
Mm-hmm.
And he very much is that's one of the reasons I think Trump loves him so much, is because Trump is like a diehard American nostalgist, you know? He wants to take us back to whatever the hell his idealistic vision of America is, you know? And Putin is the same exact way. He has this nostalgic view of Russia that he wants them to get back to. So,
my theory is that Putin wanted to join the rest of the world and be an equal trading partner.
Right.
I don't believe he has any intention of expanding their footprint. I don't think the Russians want to take over anybody's land.
Yeah.
I think they're just upset that NATO has lied about every agreement we've ever made with them.
Right.
He wanted to move NATO up to his, and put nuclear missiles on his doorstep. And I think he just said, starting in 2014, no, that won't work. And we just wouldn't listen.
Yeah. Well,
but I think most people don't like that.
It's not the traditional narrative that's been painted for us by the news or historians. I don't know how to respond. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where it's like I always say, you know, I'm very much somebody who just like looks at what's presented to me, and I kind of make, you know, I'm an average American where it's like I appreciate complexity and nuance, you know, but in terms of like when I turn on the news and I see this Russia, you know, encroaching into Ukraine, I sort of put that together with, you know, in terms of the tyrannical dictatorial playbook that always happens, where there's always a larger, more armed country that we've had uneasy agreements with for many, many years, encroaching on that smaller country's land, you know? And so I look at that, and it to me is like black and white, you know? And I don't like black and white, but, you know, and I'm saying that there's gray in there, but it's also one of those things that it's like, what you're saying, I need to look into it. I need to digest it, you know, because I'm not saying that it's 100%, like, you know, there's never ever, you know, there's never black and white to any issue, especially when it comes to geopolitics, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe Hitler, maybe
Stalin.
I know
the whole story,
you know,
either.
But, you know,
I realize that. That's just my take on what I have read and believe.
Yeah. Hey. Thank you.
Yeah, we should go ahead and pay.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and take my slice if you want.
Man, that was great.
That was fantastic. Yeah, this was really great.
I'll be right back.
Yeah,
okay.
Pizza Review Birmingham. I've got to say that unexpectedly, Mellow Mushroom, in my opinion, has been the best pizza so far.
Oh, yeah? It's really full. Was satisfying. I wanted to take you down to Da Vinci's, this pizza restaurant down the street that actually just closed after 67 years of business.
Oh.
And it's really good pizza. It's not like the best in Birmingham, but like, again, they're like an institution. And
they closed them?
Yeah, they just closed. Like, after 67 years, I was really trying to get there before they closed up. My parents went there a couple weeks ago because it's a place that my family would always go on like the first day of school every year. And me and Jessica go there on the first day of school every year to continue the tradition. And, you know, my parents went there a couple weeks ago and there was like a 2-hour wait to get in there.
Oh,
everybody
man.
Wanted to get there
before it closed.
You know, yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Good.
Oh, no, I better order something at the bar when I go over there.
I guess so, huh?
That'll make them happy.
Do you want that slice to go?
No, go right ahead.
Oh man, I.
So I guess you have no choice but to. You have to.
I have no choice but to take it home. Yeah. I know that my wife will not eat that, so I'll take.
Oh, she won't. Huh? All right.
Oh man.
We're gonna do the whatever. This is, 24%. That's pretty good, too.
Please let me know if you want me to Venmo you anything. I'll get us around in there, by the way.
Man, I am just thankful to have a job and everything.
Yeah, I'm thankful for you, too.
Man, what is this? This is strong.
It's like dentine.
Damn.
Or dentine. I don't know. I just picked up gum really quickly from the grocery store.
That's good stuff, man.
Trying to
wipe. Powerful.
Yeah, it is.
That blew my mind.
All I'm saying is that, like, the next job that I have, I will hold on to that job so tightly. And do whatever they want me to do.
Thank you.
I hope y'all enjoying.
Yeah, we had a great time. I appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Go next door. There's some kind of, like, a political event next door. There was, like, a senator or something like that who was having, like, some kind of a...
Oh, they got an outdoor grill.
Yeah.
I know.
I don't know if anybody's in here.
Thank you.
Summer Olympics in what city? The city was Atlanta. Richard Jewell was cleared as a suspect after 88 days.
You want to split up into our own team?
Sure. Now here's the movie that the whole family will like. Smokey and the Bandit. It is wonderful use of Burt Reynolds' mustache. This movie stars a young and handsome mustache with a cowboy hat and the blue jean pants. And he is also wearing the boots with these pants. So, there's this person, right? This tiny person wants to drink the Coors beer at the truck show. And he's saying, by God, in 1977, it is absolutely illegal to sell the Coors beer east of the Mississippi River without no permit. So, truck driver Bo Darville, Bandit, is played by Mr. Mustache Burt Reynolds. He agrees to pick up the beer in Texas, to scoop it up, and then get on the interstate highway system using his navigation powers and using his CB radio. They are going to drive all the way to Georgia within 28 hours. So, when Bandit picks up this little beaver named Carrie, who is also played by Sally Field, by the way, he attracts the attention of Buford T. Justice. Now, your eyes do not deceive you. This is Ralph Cramden from television's The Honeymooners. He's one of the finest television shows and comedian leads of all time. So, Jackie Gleason, he has the toilet paper stuck on the back of his pants. He's going to the restaurant. And he's like, let me get a Diablo sandwich, darling. Which way's the head? And he wanders off towards the bathroom. And he's gone for a long time, you know, he's doing something stinky. And then he's staying there, and then he's coming out, and he's picking up his bag of food to walk out the door. But there's a trail of toilet paper coming out from the back of his uniform and dragging down on the ground behind him. And all the waitresses are names like Flo and Irene and Felicia. And they're sitting there thinking in their outfits, this is hilarious. This man has toilet paper hanging out of his pants. What a ridiculous situation. This is a sheriff after all. This is going to be quite funny. But anyway, he has a retarded son. His son is very tall and very retarded. His son is going to get married to this girl. But Buford T. Justice does not think much of his son and thinks less of the girl. So, he decides instead he's going to kidnap his son and they're going to do the high-speed chase upon the bandit. But, little known to them, the bandit has a secret weapon. The bandit has a truck driver, played by Jerry Reed, very musical. His truck driver has a dog. In his truck, his name is Snowman. So the Snowman is coming in, and it's quite exciting. It's also totally mindless, but it is quite exciting in one of the real good old boy movies. Hal Needham, a man that pretty much lived at the racetrack or at the circus behind the tent, or perhaps at a country music festival or a gun show. Hal Needham was the director of dreams for a project like this. It's a southern fried romp with big personality
and a sense of fun. The whole family will enjoy it. Look at that little beaver jump over the creek. It's precious and absolutely wonderful. Now, for our next movie, we're going to have to be really picky because there's only so many movies that were made within the 1970s. The problem is that as you go later to the 70s, some of the movies that you want to talk about, like the E.T. or the Close Encounters of the Third Kind, those movies that after the late 70s start to be 1980s movies. So it can be a little difficult. Now here's a movie that I remember because I was a little boy. I was a little boy living in a wonderful neighborhood called Wood Hill Crest in Hickory Ridge. And it's in Mobile, Alabama. So I remember that the garden club, comprised of ladies in the neighborhood, they all got together to go see Grease. And this movie, Grease, was so fabulous. The word Grease is written in a font that takes on the shape of an automobile. So it's got, wonderful songs, wonderful music. It's got Olivia Newton John. It's got John Travolta. And these people, they're like fresh out of a mystical roller rink that you might call Xanadu. And they've starred in the 1950s by going back in Doc Brown's time machine. So they get there, and they're friends, and they're in high school. And then, before you know it, one of them decides that she's going to be a hairdresser. And there's a whole silly musical number with, oh, you ain't gonna be no hairdresser. You ain't gonna be no hairdresser. I got you. I got you. It's the kind of good time music that just makes you want to point at somebody and take out some goofy charisma or live in a 1971 musical flamboyantly, electrifyingly. It's a cool movie. And I guess you could say that with a sweat hog at the lead, driving steering wheel, on the bus, it was one of the finest movies you could imagine for women who were in garden clubs in the 1970s. This movie kind of made them feel young again. It happened just before, about 3 or 4 years before the good time oldies format appeared on the radio. It's probably not 4 or 5 years after this that Cousin Brucey was doing the good time oldies, nationwide. And it was like the true power of the boomer generation was in display. This movie is really all about boomer power. So go see it. Blame your life on someone else, you pathetic little worm. Mad Max. Mad Max is another movie. Mad Max was made by George Miller. It had the Mel Gibson in it. It had I don't even know this person. It takes a place in a desert, and there's this little rat kid, and he's riding like a unicopter, and I think he's something wrong in the head. He's got like a beanie on, and then there's this like wild kid, and he's just not got no diapers on or anything. He's just running wild like a little monkey. So this apocalyptic world, it's all the problems because the gasoline is too expensive. So everybody's like burnt the cities down. They decided to move out into the desert, and they took a bunch of iron gates from the front of old brownstones up there in New York City, and they welded them on front of their Caprice Classic, and they welded them on front of their Chevy Avega. It was a Chevy Nova with a steering wheel on top of the roof, and then a man with a bow and arrow sitting in the trunk shooting at people, and he had a mask on, It's the kind of movie it was. Just imagine all these cars driving around having fights in the desert. Now we gotta be very careful with this next movie. We gotta be very careful and find a good one. Now, American Graffiti. In reality, American Graffiti could be called the prequel to Star Wars. American Graffiti stars Richard Dreyfuss, Ronnie Howard, who was in Star Wars, I think, Charles Martin Smith, I don't know who he was, and it's got some other people in it. You know that George Lucas, remember that kid from film school? He made that THX 1138. Such a good movie, you know. This is like his big movie. This is like his big breakthrough. You don't know this now, but in the future, he becomes a very big deal. He sells a property to Disney so they could ruin it. But ostensibly, this film is about what happened to cause the Empire and to cause the Star Wars. You can watch this film, and although it seems to take place in another universe, I think you will see the poetry as if it were all written in a bathroom stall, you know? You see this poetry and you're like, my God, man, that is the best poetry I have ever seen. Okay, back to you, PQ.